Hey, everybody. Ken and Charlie Kirk Show. DeSantis has a tough presidential launch. We are honest about what he did well and how things could improve for him if he so chooses. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com and get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com.
We had our evening all scheduled, producer Andrew and I, despite the TPUSA Faith Pastor Summit. I was curious to see what was going to happen. Now, you've probably heard about the absolute mess of the Ron DeSantis announcement yesterday, and it was a mess, right? Now, to Ron DeSantis' credit, there was a legitimate amount of interest here. Elon hyped it up, and so I think there is a fair argument to be made that's not spin and not BS, that enough people wanted to hear Ron DeSantis and wanted to hear what he had to say, and I think that's a positive thing. I wish they would have actually leaned into that spin earlier. Andrew, it was 25 minutes of just kind of a mess, right? It was Elon walking in and out of rooms.
Oh, my gosh. And the headlines are brutal, I will say.
Yes, the app was crashing, and some of this is unfair towards DeSantis. The fair criticism, which we will share here, is we tried to warn DeSantis yesterday on this program. We didn't say it explicitly. We did say, though, be careful if the headlines go to Elon. Now, what we were saying, though, is when you do an announcement that's not traditional, you're entering in a third-party element into the announcement formula.
Listen, we fully support what Elon did when he came into Twitter. He got rid of a bunch of the dead weight. He fired but here's the thing. He fired a bunch of people, fired a bunch of folks that were probably not working that hard. He's changing the culture. It's going to take time. So listen, we all understand what happened at Twitter, but this is my big question here. I have seen Twitter spaces with Elon with like 3 million people on them. And the thing did not crash. So they were claiming that it crashed because there were like 600,000 people or whatever right at the beginning. It doesn't make sense to me. Something fritzed that hadn't fritzed previously with Elon.
So it could be a woke engineering team that didn't want to see this happen. Could have been sabotage. Don't put that past them. Yeah. There's no evidence to support that except pure speculation. We'll get into kind of the depressing element, which is we want Twitter to succeed. I'm not delighting in this like some people are. I will say, though, that I was disappointed because you had this amazing opportunity to communicate to the center right, the center left of America. 600,000 people could have grown to millions, and it just looked like a total clown show. It was bad for Elon. It was bad for DeSantis. Okay, so it's unfair to blame that on DeSantis except for the part of why did he choose to do something untraditional. His headlines are now completely marred by a failure to launch, right? Now, if I was DeSantis, I think they could have done a much better job of spinning this, right? I think what DeSantis immediately got memed and Elon got memed, and instead he could have just said, I'm so popular, I melted the servers, something of that essence.
They tried that.
But they failed miserably. But here's the actual part that I want to focus on, not the fact that it was a digital Hindenburg and, you know, it was failure to launch and all that stuff. Here's what I actually think everyone's missing, is how unbelievably boring and off tone Ron DeSantis is once he got a chance to speak after 25 minutes. This is actually important. So Ron DeSantis, after all this lead up, right, he's got hundreds of thousands of people watching. He misread the room. The Republican base does not want an op-ed writer right now. The Republican base does not want a policy conversation. They do not want to have details on amendments. They do not want perfectly tailored sound bites. And it was so clear that when Ron DeSantis was in the Twitter space, he was reading an op-ed. He was literally reading a script. He was reading a script. It was so rehearsed. You know, the number one piece of feedback I received from you, the audience, and from people texting me, they said, what are you even doing? At least put in an or an ah, or, you know, Elon, or great to be here. It was the Joe Biden regime is keeping the border open. Woke goes to die in Florida.
Right.
And And then he used words that so obviously you would not use when you're speaking extemporaneously,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
He used the word fragility.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless you're Robin DiAngelo talking about race, that's not a word that people use in everyday discourse.
But that's the exact – see, this is what we talked about, the risks and the rewards of being adventurous, trying something new. I think what you saw there was there was just a lack of understanding of the medium. Why Elon Musk is able to go on there and
totally.
Get 3 million is because you can tell he's literally just coming up with it. And
Elon hasn't
organic.
Elon hasn't slept in 3 days and he just got off a call with Tesla. And it's just, you know, Elon might say something. There's an unpredictable element. And then DeSantis decided to go boring. And I say this as a huge admirer of DeSantis and a friend, but you got to be honest. Okay. Let's go to cut 83. Governor DeSantis could have just released an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal instead of reading this on a Twitter space. Please play cut 83.
I don't think it has to be this way. American decline is not inevitable. It is a choice. And we should choose a new direction, a path that will lead to American revitalization. We must restore sanity to our nation. This means embracing fiscal and economic sanity. Stop pricing hardworking Americans out of a good standard of living through inflationary borrow, print, and spending policies, and please embrace American energy independence. This also means replacing the woke mind virus with reality, facts, and enduring principles.
Now, I will say, our show and maybe a couple others, I think we popularized some of these themes. I think woke mind virus, we've said more than almost any other program. So whatever, it's out there in the zeitgeist, the spirit of the times. I'm glad to see it. That's so scripted, Andrew.
It felt so scripted.
He's reading an op-ed.
Well, and you and I were actually in a room together with Mikey, another member of the team.
Yeah.
We were all sitting there waiting for it to come on, and then it came back on, and we thought it was a recording from something that dropped off.
I thought it was an auto call. I thought it was I thought it was kind of like evacuate
a robocall.
Or like a robocall. Yeah, evacuate the beach. The hurricane is coming.
Yeah,
it was so monotone. There was no
was.
Inflection of voice and this is the point. We made this point yesterday. I want to reemphasize it. The conservative base doesn't want that right now. They don't want just perfectly tailored op-eds. They don't want boring. They want a brawler. They want a street fighter. They do not want an op-ed writer for the Wall Street Journal.
And somebody that's willing to kind of, you know, go straight to the people, have those conversations, make it feel really organic, like take random challenging questions from the audience, right? Because that's the beauty of Twitter Spaces. I mean, Twitter Spaces is a very organic, you get to see inside real conversations with top people that you maybe follow online, whatever. And it just wasn't that. It wasn't that. And you know, what else was sad was he had all these people at the beginning of the Twitter space, and then with all the technical difficulties, a lot of them left, and they didn't come back. So it was, headlines are just brutal. It's like, why DeSantis's disastrous launch matters from Politico Playbook. There's Ron DeSantis, the good, the bad, the beautiful. Twitter glitches Mar DeSantis debut as presidential candidate, NPR. The Guardian, now's the time to think about just how bad a DeSantis presidency would be. CNN glitches, echoes, and melting the servers, crash DeSantis campaign launch at Twitter. So you see what they're trying to do. They're actually trying to go after Elon and DeSantis. And according to the New York Times, there was no tech prep at Twitter for this. There was zero tech run through. According to the New York Times, I mean, it's fake story. But
so Ron DeSantis and his team made a decision to outsource their announcement zing and potential to a third party company, and that ended up being a mistake.
Yeah,
and you only get one first impression. And again, he'll probably get over this. However, I got to tell you, the MAGA meme people, they are ruthless, man. Well, I mean, they are just...
And NBC's David Ingram, he says, this is going to be a stain that Trump is going to leverage for at least a few weeks. At least a few weeks. I mean, you're going to be hearing Trump mention this.
Trump, until Amy Klobuchar said he called her the snow woman because she announced in the blizzard,
that was
right?
The worst announcement. That was the all-time worst presidential announcement.
Yeah, but she also was not a leading contender or candidate. And you got to give her some credit for trying. I actually thought it was admirable.
Why?
She's out there talking about global warming and it's negative 10 degrees and it's a
but she kept the
she
line
kept
in there.
She kept it going. Yeah, she said global temperatures are on the increase and she's shivering global temperatures. And I mean, it's at least there was some sort of spirit there, right?
I heard she's an icy person anyways.
No, she's not kind. But we're going to talk more about the substance of what DeSantis did and did not talk about. And then in a second perplexing move, he gets done with the Twitter space and runs to somebody that I know you as the Republican base do not want to hear from. Trey Gowdy.
Yep.
What is that all about?
We should show that.
No, we should.
Before and after. As, Trey Gowdy
of all show. The cable news channel hosts you can select, you select the guy that fumbled and bumbled the Benghazi investigation?
Look, it is time to consider a rollover of that 401k into an IRA. The investment world is completely different in 2023, and you cannot do the same thing as last year. Woke companies are aggressively implementing ESG. Interest rates are going up, and inflation is still lingering. If you have over $150,000, now is the time to move your money to a biblical, responsible investing strategy with my friends at Pax Financial Group. Here's how you can connect with Pax. Text CHARLIE to the number 74868. That's it. Just take out your phone. Text CHARLIE, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, to 74868. So take out your phone. Text CHARLIE to the number 74868 for biblical, responsible investing. Text CHARLIE to 74868.
Fair or unfair, he's getting labeled as a campaign disaster. Again, he's not in charge of Twitter, but he did make the decision to not do a traditional launch. And I think every single person in America will remember the moment that President Donald Trump went down that golden escalator, play cut 90.
I am officially running for President of the United States, and we are going to make our country great again.
You only get one opportunity for initial optics. Okay, so then he had a decision of who, so that didn't go well, right? And the other thing that just bothers me is then why do you go then to Trey Gowdy, who did not fulfill the mandate when he was in Congress, was underwhelming as an oversight chair when it came to Benghazi, and was a big swing and a miss. Here's Ron DeSantis going on Trey Gowdy's program, talking about the military, and actually let's go to this one on name calling. Play cut 93, please.
Governor, there is a very, very slight chance that you will pick up a nickname at some point in the next couple of days or weeks. How do you run robustly, even sometimes when it's going to be tough?
Well, look, I don't mind being called different things. I've been called everything but a child of God as it is. So that doesn't faze me. You can call me whatever you want. Just make sure you call me a winner, because that's what we've done in the state of Florida. And that's exactly what we would do nationally, not only in the election, but actually bringing all these great policies to bear.
Andrew, the response from a lot of people has been confusion. And is he going towards kind of this moderate lane? I would have liked to see a little bit of a different tone, where I'm leaning in as a governor that is going to go after the administrative state. He's not reading the room in a way. He's acting as if this is a policy debate, where that is not where the conservative base is at all. It's not about details or about this or about, you know, laws and legislation. All that stuff is fine. It's about an attitude. It's about a vibe. It's, are you going to betray me when you go to D.C.? And he decides to go on a cable television program with Trey Gowdy, who largely is remembered for being an underwhelming House oversight chair.
Yeah, he failed the movement at one of the most critical times. I mean, in some defense, people had not realized what time the country was at, right? At that moment. And it was early on when they were really targeting President Trump in those early days, but he failed. He believed in the institutions, he defended the institutions. I think he later apologized and said he missed the boat. But whatever. The base does not love Trey Gowdy. I mean, that's just the bottom line. I've got to conclude, though, Charlie, with all of these different signals that we were talking about yesterday, we're seeing today, they are looking at some numbers. This is my theory. They've all huddled together in a war room, and they realize that they can't compete with Trump on the base, right? That was the people that loved DeSantis, that were base Republicans, that were MAGA Republicans, America First Republicans. They loved him, but I think they're looking at the numbers and they've concluded we can't beat Trump at his own game, so we have to pick a different lane. And so what they're doing is they're trying to consolidate
yeah.
all of the Trump skeptics, the people that are like, hey, I like Trump's policies, but he was you know, too much for me. I was always embarrassed having to support him. All this stuff. His Twitter feed was too mean. Everything like that. They're trying to play a very strategic lane and send very strategic signals to a very strategic and specific group of Republican voters.
This feels, though, like a 2004-2008 type campaign where I'm going to just say the kind of tailored sound bites. I'm going to go and talk about positions that don't ruffle feathers too much. Did Governor DeSantis say anything with a zing or a bang that was newsworthy? I mean, you have an opportunity. I mean, No. That's what underwhelmed me. If, you know what Ron DeSantis could have said that would have made some news? He would have said, when I'm president, my first act of president, I will pardon Donald Trump for any targeting from DOJ.
But I see, here's the thing. I don't think he wants, like, that's not the kind of energy he wants, right? Because I think he wants.
You want to win over the base? Hey, man.
I agree. But I think what he's saying, I think they've concluded they can't compete on that ground. But what they can do is they can get the people that are hungry for a more boring approach, but they want the conservative policies. They want somebody that's not going to cause the cultural tumult that Donald Trump, you know, they think that he caused. And really, it was a weaponized media. But that, I think that's what you can conclude. They're looking at the numbers and saying, this is our lane. If we get this chunk, this pie, and this group, maybe we can put together a coalition.
I'm not so certain. Trump is looking at 50 or 60% of the party, and it's not moving. It's even higher than that in certain states.
Yeah.
Look, I can't believe the dire headlines we're facing in the world today. Everywhere you look, things are falling apart, and that's why the smartest investment you can make right now is in your family's food security. The reality is you might not be able to find food when the next disaster strikes. Grocery stores will be empty because roads will be closed and trucks won't be able to make deliveries. When that happens, you need emergency food in full supply. That's why I urge you to grab a 3-month emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest preparedness company. When you order today, you'll save $200 on each kit you need. Having these kits means your family will stay fed while others stand in food lines. Do not delay. Order your 3-month emergency food kit and save $200 per kit. It's easy to order. Go to preparewithkirk.com. You'll get fast and free shipping too. Do this today or you'll regret it tomorrow. That is preparewithkirk.com. Preparewithkirk.com. Order your 3-month emergency food kit and save $200 per kit. That is preparewithkirk.com. Do this today or you'll regret it tomorrow. Preparewithkirk.com.
Okay, I want to play another piece of tape here. Tim Pool had some sharp words here. Play cut 86.
Listen, man, I like Ron DeSantis as a politician. He has great policies. He's doing a great job. But holy crap, did they not give this guy 1 minute of media training? Did they not have any kind of campaign coach be like, go watch Captain America one time? And just watch any Hollywood movie where the protagonist gives a speech about saving the world.
Now, again, some of this is unfair, but he had a pretty long buildup for this. There's obviously kind of this built-in demand, so he's going to have to kind of navigate this failure to launch archetype that has now been put on him. But my biggest complaint, and somebody says, well, Charlie, you know, I only vote on policy. Yeah, most people vote for people. They don't vote for policy ideas, especially in primaries, in the Republican primary. But I do want to just reemphasize this. Did DeSantis make any news even on the policy, or was it just more abstractions?
No, I think that the forum was the news, but there wasn't.
I would have liked to see a little bit, you know, a zinger here or a zinger there or something substantive.
This is why it goes all to my theory that this is all poll tested and they are seeing a lane and they're like, here's the signals you send to those people so that you don't alienate those people, that you bring those in and you signal that you're safe, that you're not going to be like Trump and have, you know, whatever controversy. But here's the problem. I don't think that's who DeSantis is. You and me both like DeSantis as a person, as a politician, as the governor.
He's been a fabulous governor.
Because he has taken massive risks and he goes off the cuff, on the fly in these press conferences. Really, that's his medium. I mean, the press conference medium for DeSantis is very powerful, right? Trump's is probably the rally, right? Or the retail politics, like we say. But I don't know that DeSantis isn't strong in either of those, but he is very strong when it comes to press conference, sparring with the media. And by the way, he takes risks there. He says hard things. He gets into unscripted moments. And I think that's what, I mean, for better or for worse, that is what the base is now. So we're like ruined for the old style. We're ruined for the canned moment. But maybe they're reading the tea leaves. Maybe they're looking at polls. Maybe they're looking at what this or that. And they're saying, actually, there's a whole subsection of the non-Trump vote or the winnable vote in the base that doesn't like that doesn't like the Trumpisms, mm-hmm. that doesn't like the sort of entertainment moving into politics, the pathos, right? They want boring. Maybe that's the read here. Maybe, but here's the problem. I don't think it suits Ron DeSantis. I think it takes away his personality. I think it takes away the energy. And I think it just kind of leaves us all listless. And, you know, we'll see if it works, though, right? I mean, yeah, we were just hearing before.
So
yeah.
I think you have to say some of this stuff, but have a little bit of spice, a little bit of zing. You're running against Donald Trump, okay? Now, maybe Ron DeSantis thinks because of the indictments or whatever, Trump is going to be out of the way. That is a long shot, moonshot type, very unlikely scenario. Let's play cut 84. Everything here DeSantis says is correct, but listen, he's reading a piece of paper when he's saying this. You have the eyes of the world on it. Let yourself be free. You're not going to beat Trump reading scripts. You're a smart man, DeSantis. Liberate yourself from the consultants. Play cut 84.
Florida's the nation's fastest growing state. We're number one in net in-migration, number one in new business formations, recently ranked number one in education. We have a 50-year low crime rate and one of the lowest tax and debt per capita in America. But we also understand governing is not entertainment. It's not about building a brand or virtue signaling. It is about delivering results. And our results in Florida have been second to none. We can and we must deliver big results for America. I pledge to be an energetic executive that will take on the important issues.
Look, so that was a slight at Trump. He said not about building a brand or entertainment, but Governor DeSantis, I hate to break it to you, politics is entertainment right now in the Republican primary. You're right. In the general election, it's about ballot harvesting, ballot chasing, voter registration, you know, early in person voting.
Probably being a little boring during the general.
Yeah, but in a primary right now, the Republican base post Trump, this has kind of become American Idol, man. This is this is not just about a policy debate, because here's why. This is not incorrect. The base is trying to sniff out if you're a fraud that's going to go be a Paul Ryan.
Yeah.
They're constantly having their radar out there trying to say, ooh, are you going to deceive me? Are you going to be one of those snakes? Are you going to be one of those people that go and say one thing and do another? And so they've heard all this before, Governor DeSantis. They've heard all this stuff. They say, that's fine, but prove to me through your language, through your vibe, through your energy, through your spirit, through your conviction, that you are a man that is going to go on day one and say to the FBI, you're done. I don't get that from just listing off.
So here's can I share a theory? I'm looking at some of the polling right now. So this is from CNN. It's the CNN poll dropped yesterday. Trump is the first choice of 53% of Republican leading voters in the primary, roughly doubling DeSantis' 26%. Okay. All right. So he's double, 53 to 26. But the survey also finds that wide swaths of Republican aligned voters are willing to consider either of the two candidates, as well as several other candidates. So more than 8 in 10 either support or say they're open to considering Trump, 84%, and DeSantis, 85%. So what I think they're trying to do is they're trying to say, look at our policies, look at what we're doing in Florida. I mean, he's still, to DeSantis' credit, he's still taking a ton of heat, right, for some of what's going on in Florida, some of his culture war.
He's been amazing. That's what makes me love him, though. Well, do you know what would have been great if he would have went on? He'd say, and by the way, I just want to open up this call and say, hey, NAACP, you're not welcome in the state of Florida. Like, boom, like, yes, that's what we want. Fight, get in the
something
arena.
Something like that would have been.
Throw a punch. Say day one, we're going to, you know what he could have said? He said, you know what? We're going to pardon the January 6th people that did not, were nonviolent offenders.
Yeah, but Trump already occupies that ground.
But at least play in that, right?
Yeah.
Play in that lane.
But what I think they're looking at is they're saying, listen, 85% of the base either supports him already or is willing to consider him. So that's a pathway. But what he's trying to do is no unforced errors. Obviously, the technical glitch, the failure to launch, the trolling, all that stuff is going to have its effect. The question is, does it matter when the time comes to vote, right? 85% of people are either support him or are willing to consider him in the Republican base. That's a massive number. And then the next closest is Nikki Haley at 61%, Scott at 60%, and Pence comes in at 54%. So, I mean, it's basically still the two-man race, right? It's 1A, 1B right now. But, you know, and then you have all these guys like Chris Christie with 1%.
Let's play cut 83. Ron DeSantis on his Twitter space reading his op-ed. Play cut 83.
I don't think it has to be this way. American decline is not inevitable. It is a choice. And we should choose a new direction, a path that will lead to American revitalization. We must restore sanity to our nation. This means embracing fiscal and economic sanity. Stop pricing hardworking Americans out of a good standard of living through inflationary borrow, print, and spending policies. And please embrace American energy independence. This also means replacing the woke mind virus with reality, facts, and enduring principles.
I mean, I'm laughing because it's just that that's not a way somebody talks.
No,
this is why Trump is the king of media for 40 years. He knows how to get people's attention, keep people's attention, talk in a way that's engaging, use words that people would use over, you know, kitchen table conversations, brand. And again, some of you are emailing us, well, Charlie, you're being super unfair to DeSantis. We're being honest, actually. I mean, again, I've endorsed President Trump. I want to see him win. I'm actually giving DeSantis free advice if he wants to take it, which is you have to stop being boring. You got to fire these consultants, put these pieces of paper away and get in the arena.
Yeah.
Get in the arena. And if you're unwilling to do that, then you're not going to be the nominee. And maybe he just says, hey, I'm going to run this race a certain way. And I want to be, you know, I don't think Trump's going to win the general and people are going to look to me for 2000. Maybe this is more about 2028 where it's like, I'm going to be super boring. Trump's going to do his thing. He's going to rip me apart. I'm going to be the guy, the I told you so thing. I hope that's not the case.
I think he thinks he's got a lane. I really believe what we're seeing and why this is so confusing for us is you and I have both met Governor DeSantis. We Turning Point Action did like what, 6 or 7 events with Ron during 2022.
He's a fabulous executive.
But the thing is, the energy has shifted, is what I'm trying to say.
This is a great point, Andrew. I've seen DeSantis, who last summer when we did these events, he didn't have all these consultants pittering around him.
He came up with his wife.
Yeah, and he was just like, want me to talk about this and talk about that. Something has changed in the last 60 days. There's people around DeSantis that have changed his language, changed his approach. He's way too robotic right now. And I think it's going to harm him. But also, I want to make sure people are clear as to why Trump will then end up being successful. Because you earn trust not through reading a script. You earn trust through making statements that are rooted in courage, by living out that courage in how you communicate that, and understanding the audience is a audience scorned. It is an audience scorned. Okay. Not that we should listen to this person, but let's play cut 88. Jennifer Palmieri, play cut 88.
He could have just been an effective governor of Florida and be doing well with the Republican voters that want to move on from Trump. But instead, he double, triple, quadruple down on a very mean-spirited, pretty nasty MAGA agenda that I don't think, you know, I mean,
what are you doing?
I'm not sure. I think I could argue Donald Trump is more electable than Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, I don't know if that's fair or not. I mean, but it also goes to show that they're going to portray you as nasty and cruel regardless of what you say. And here's a question. Did Ron DeSantis win over a primary voter in Iowa, South Carolina, New Hampshire last evening?
Actually, I would love to know what the audience think. Was there anybody out in the audience?
Were you persuaded in the last 24 hours?
Yeah.
Email us freedom@charliekirk.com from his Trey Gowdy interview. And also, I'm going to clear up the Mark Levin thing. It is being misrepresented that Mark Levin endorsed Ron DeSantis. He did not do that.
Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Just when you thought it couldn't get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. That's right, you heard me, MyPillow 2.0. When Mike Lindell, great American patriot, invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow, but now 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has a patented, adjustable fill on the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that is made with a temperature regulating thread. For exclusive listeners, the MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free offer with promo code Kirk and get your best sleep ever. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in America and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square to buy one and get one free offer. Enter promo code Kirk or call 800-875-0425 to get your MyPillow 2.0 now. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Check it out.
So let me ask you a question. Tim Scott has announced for the presidency. Ron DeSantis has announced for the presidency. What happened this week? What did we do this week to increase our chances to ballot chase, ballot harvest, and have an early state infrastructure in Wisconsin, Arizona, or Georgia?
Such a good point.
Ron DeSantis running for the presidency now guarantees this will be a $1 billion primary. A $1 billion primary. Tim Scott will raise at least $100 million.
I think he's going to raise more than that.
Tim Scott?
Yeah.
Well, through his super PACs, yeah.
Yeah.
Ron DeSantis, $250 to $300 million.
I think more than that probably too.
So that money should be spent in Georgia, Arizona, and Wisconsin to make sure we can win.
And then maybe New Hampshire and Nevada could get some too. I think Pennsylvania, I don't have much. Poso disagrees with us on Pennsylvania. He's holding out hope, but I think he secretly knows it's the steepest hill to climb of all of those. But
yeah, and Tim Scott might just get $100 million from Larry Ellison alone.
Yeah.
$100 million.
Oracle founder, yep.
And meanwhile, the Democrats are laughing. They're not having a primary. They're building infrastructure. They're suing. They have lawfare operations. They're suing in Arizona, Georgia, and Wisconsin. They're relaxing signature verification thresholds. And here we are. We're about to have one of the most expensive personality disputes in the history of politics.
Well, okay, hold on, though. I mean, you listen, I think we're both Trump supporters, but we both like DeSantis. I think there is millions of us, right? And if that CNN poll is right, that 85 or 86% of primary voters on the conservative side are open to DeSantis. I mean, listen, we have a producer on our team that is, he basically is formulating it that there's a lot of people that just don't like Trump, right? They are tired of it and they think they want a different option. If that supposition is correct, then, you know, let them fight it out. Let them have the deal. I mean, I think you've made a compelling point that this money could be better spent elsewhere, but it's going to happen now at any way. But
the Democrats are the actual winners here. The Democrats are so happy. This guarantees a $1 billion. This will be one of the most expensive primaries ever.
It will. It will.
There's a fair amount of Republican rich donors that hate Donald Trump more than sin. I'm just being honest.
Yep.
It is. And they're going to be looking for any person to deploy. And they're richer than ever post-COVID, the easy money era. They have a lot of money to spend. And they're going to deploy significant resources.
And just, I love it when you build this out. Charlie, I remind the audience, $100 million, just so you guys are clear, when we talk about $1 billion being spent on a primary, $100 million in the general could win the entire
race. We believe it actually, the operating hypothesis that we have is that whoever the Republican nominee is, if it's Trump especially, Florida, North Carolina, Ohio, and Iowa are solidly center-right, especially in a presidential year.
Yep.
It will come down to, because of the reconfiguration of the Electoral College, of the Sun Belt rising and blue states decreasing, the math has changed slightly, so to come down to three states, Arizona, Georgia, Wisconsin. That's the whole race.
Yeah.
My opinion is make Ron Johnson the vice presidential candidate. They're very tribal in a good way in Wisconsin, and they'll vote for one of their own. Therefore, it's just a two-state race, Georgia and Arizona.
Well,
and in those two states, $120 million can win if you have a ballot-chasing type army.
It's like basically you hire 1,000
Scott Presslers.
1,000 Scott Presslers in Arizona, 1,000 in Georgia. And then you do the math backwards. If each one of those ballot chasers is responsible for bagging 750 votes over the course
over 30,
of a month.
30 days.
Yeah. Yes, you do the math. Guess what? All those deficits that we lost by in 2020, even in 2022, they're gone. They evaporate.
So this is the way we should be thinking. This is where the Democrats are thinking, by the way. They just care about banking votes, early voting, banking votes, signature verification, banking votes. We're worried on personality contest, right? And I say this as a admirer of Ron DeSantis and an admirer of Tim Scott. I want to win. I don't want to have the Democrat crime syndicate be able to stay in power, because we're about to have a bloody, expensive $1 billion operation that, quite honestly, serves the best interest of Democrats. The true winner of this will be the Democrats, because I hate to break it to you, Donald Trump might get outspent. All this different stuff happens. He's going to be the nominee. Okay, he will outwork you. He has the conservative base. He has the conservative influencers. He understands the base really well. And no matter how much money you're going to spend against him, it actually only helps him in a certain way. He has a built-in memory of being a great president. He's got all this stuff working for him. And especially you just look at the primary delegate math. So therefore, let's say that Donald Trump wins the nomination after $1 billion spent on him. The question will be, in April of next year, when that happens, we're going to look around and we're going to say, oh, so how are we going to win Arizona, Georgia, Wisconsin? And I'll say, hey, we've been trying to tell you guys about this for 18 months. I am super concerned. This is what the RNC should be doing. I'm super concerned that we are about to get so distracted. This is a massive smokescreen operation and it's only going to guarantee a Joe Biden second term.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.